So today we are observing the Feast of the Ascension, which begs a critical question: where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Is Jesus up there? Our readings and our hymns seem to point to the fact that Jesus is up there, and heaven is up there, where Jesus ascended after his resurrection and his post-resurrection appearances. Is Jesus in our hearts? I hope so. But Jesus is not only within us. Jesus is without us. And the Holy Spirit is working between us and among us and moving throughout creation. Is Jesus on the street corner, downtown Minneapolis, St. Paul, all over the cities? Yes, we can receive and even experience another person as Christ or God's beloved child. Just think, Jesus sightings can become as frequent as Elvis sightings. Ascension can be a confusing feast day. Didn't we just celebrate Jesus' resurrection from the dead? Why would Jesus appear and then disappear again? When he departed, did Jesus leave his followers on their own to clean up their broken lives and this broken world? One of the great misunderstandings that I think the Feast of the Ascension promotes is the belief that Jesus left us, period. While Jesus returned to God, he gave his followers the Holy Spirit. Thus, while God was no longer present to his followers in the flesh as Jesus, God was with them in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a powerful public presence who works between and among people, leading them, inspiring them to do and say things they never thought possible, and to bring healing, reconciliation, and peace where there was formerly misunderstanding, conflict, and hurt. The Spirit opens up the reality of God to us in the here and now. Why would Jesus return to God, and why might that be important to us today? Three things came to mind. First of all, our God is a community of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Jesus returned to God where he was in the beginning. By returning to God, it is clear that Jesus rules over all of creation, meaning he is Lord or ultimate ruler, not Caesar and not other earthly rulers. That's a good thing because most earthly rulers have proved themselves unworthy. As Lord or ruler over all of creation, Jesus is not power-hungry, arrogant, or corrupt. Jesus is the leader who suffered, the one who still bears the marks of the crucifixion on his resurrected body. He rules with humility, love, and compassion. Two, I think Jesus' disciples needed to grow up spiritually. When Jesus left them, he gave them the Holy Spirit to lead them and to empower them. If Jesus were still with the disciples physically, I don't think they would have grown up spiritually. They would never have had the chance to discover what it means to follow Jesus in his physical absence. In today's readings from Acts and Luke, Jesus says to his followers, "You are witnesses of these things. His followers are to proclaim the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, the possibility of forgiveness, repentance, and new life in God to all nations through word and deed. When you read Acts and see the ways that the Holy Spirit worked through Jesus' followers, like Peter and Philip, you see the ways that they had to step up spiritually and personally after Jesus' physical departure. 3, as our readings from Ephesians and today's opening prayer note, when Jesus returns to God, he fills all things. Maggie told me this week about the Godly Play Ascension story, and in that story, the kids watch the candles being snuffed out, and when they are, the smoke from those candles fills the entire room. And I think that's a really good image for Jesus filling all things. In the Acts account of the Ascension, 2 men in white robes appear as Jesus' followers watch him ascend to heaven. They say, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven?" I think this is a really important question, which is too often lost on this feast day in the focus on Jesus' ascent. For it's easy to let our upward focus prevent us from looking down at the earth where God is active and at work. It's tempting to mourn Jesus' departure and to put life on hold until we're reunited with him, failing to notice that the Holy Spirit is inviting us to join up with what she is already doing in our lives and our neighborhoods. Heaven is not up there. Jesus is not up there. Heaven is wherever God is, which means that heaven is here and now. St. Gregory of Nyssa, a 4th-century Christian from Cappadocia, present-day Turkey, once said, "We're already in heaven, we just don't know it." St. Catherine of Siena once proclaimed, "All the way to heaven is heaven." Last Thursday night, I had the privilege of hearing Clifton Tolbert speak at the Interfaith Action Annual Assembly. He is a Pulitzer Prize-winning nominated author, an entrepreneur, a businessman, wrote a wonderful book called 8 Habits of the Heart. And he grew up in the Mississippi Delta in a family that was materially poor, but rich in character, faith, and values. He argued convincingly that he was able to get an education and went on to be very successful, and I think more than that, to just use fully his God-given gifts, because the ordinary people around him believed in him, invested in him, encouraged him, and lifted him up. They made sacrifices on his behalf. He talked about an aunt who got up really early every morning to flick the light on the porch of their house on and off so the school bus driving through rural Mississippi or their part of rural Mississippi didn't miss his house. Every morning she set her alarm super early, got up and made sure that light was on and flickering so the bus stopped, and he never missed a day of school. During his talk, Tolbert said, "It is not enough to wish good things for others. You have to be involved in the process." Today, Mother's Day, We remember all the women who enabled us to ascend. The mothers, the grandmothers, the female mentors along the way who made sacrifices, who invested in us so we could fulfill our God-given potential. Thanks to them, some of us have been able to do things that were not possible for our mothers, to enter doors that were not open to them. I also know that this is a hard day for many people whose mothers were unable to love them and to lift them up. I am always in awe of people who didn't grow up with much love or support, but are then able to offer these gifts for others. To me, this is one way that God is at work in their lives. When we follow the way of Jesus, when we are his witnesses in word and deed, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our communities, we lift others up. We help others ascend. This is not easy work, and it involves more than a quick fix. It involves long-term relationships and commitment, sacrifice, courage, joy, bumps in the road, and sometimes heartbreak. And yet, this is what Jesus calls us to do. Not just to look elsewhere, to look away, to look up, but to follow Jesus here on this earth by participating in God's work of lifting others up. In the silence that follows, I want you to think about the following questions. Who invested in you and enabled you to ascend? Give thanks for them. In whom is God calling you to invest? Amen.